was younger, but diesel was always cheaper than gas.
I know.
When only semis use it. Oh, okay.
It was that long.
Had to be refined.
Yeah, when only semis use it, but then with all the cars and trucks started going diesel, they jacked the price up on it too.
Yeah, but it was, they lowered the sulfurs.
Oh, got it.
I go down home on Minnesota.
I see. I saw something, what did I see happen?
Thought about you something.
That big cane was up.
Yeah. Yeah, I pulled my vehicle halfway across the country with one tank, but then when you go to village, you remember for a long time.
I had a '79 Bronco, I remember, my wife said, and I had a car that I drove, a Taurus. And we filled the Bronco about the same time we filled the Taurus. She said, we must get about the same mileage. I said, honey, you got a 40-gallon tank in there, I've got 20. But that was her logic since we drove.
That's right, that's Dodge's trying to tell you.
I only used half a tank and I went the same miles you did, yeah, but you used twice the gas.
I just keep my for one ton truck, it's 30 miles a gallon, so yeah. Right away, I'll think that maybe you're early.
There's some physics in the way of that.
I think so.
That Ford 500 of mine on straight highway will get 26.
That our Acura, slows down to 30. It always has plenty.
But then around.
My Audi got the same mileage as my truck.
It's bigger than a Ford. I don't know why, it has high gear.
Well, then around, that Ford's got that concrete, doesn't change gears, it's just got a belt system. But around town, it only gets about 18. The highway will get up to 26.
Really sick. She's always amazed. It's got better than anything. Any of the staff get to go to the LA conference, the planning conference? They should go at least one of them. Is that walking?
You guys, every day?
Every day?
No, two times a day.
Temperature.
Today's not a good day tomorrow.
No, no.
Almost every.
Yesterday, yeah, yesterday.
Just go out with a sail.
As long as you go one way and then somebody picked you up at the other. Today's I could get to foul on my bicycle.
You'll be very good track.
We're supposed to play golf on Wednesday afternoons. Yeah. And I called out there and said, is there anyone certifiable? Did anyone show up from our 20 guys? They said, but several of them called. That's how it was.
Well, we're right up above the Silver Oak. People playing out there.
Today?
Not today.
No,
I didn't ride today.
We've had the best winter we've had until we took over in 96.
For golfing, not so much fun.
It is put snow on the mountains, that's good.
Yes.
But we need more on the mountains.
N20 to have got are the Diamond Beasts that they got a foot and a half on the last 24
hours. Oh, they were getting shut up and feet up there somewhere.
Are we ready? I'll explain that. Yeah, are we okay? Jennifer shakes her head. Yes. Go ahead and call this meeting to order. Can I have roll call, please, Kathy?
Chairperson Kimbrough.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Wendell. Commissioner Dami.
Yes, Chief.
Commissioner Eswine.
Here.
Commissioner Sattler.
Here.
Commissioner Shirk. Commissioner Vance.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Great. Well, I always forget, so I need to have a system here now. But let's pick on the Commissioner Sattler for our pledge here tonight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just to explain to the commission, he's sitting in the back because he doesn't want to spread germs up front here, which we're all agreeable to back there. That's your germ-free zone back there.
I'm on my third week. I
should go sit with him. So, first up, Baz, I have public comment period for any members of public who wish to address the commission. May approach the podium at this time to speak on matters relevant to within the authority of the Planning Commission. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chairman to calendar the matter for a future planning commission agenda. In order for the minutes of the public to participate in the commission's consideration of a public hearing item on this agenda, the commission strongly encourages members of the public to comment on the agenda item when that particular item is being discussed on the, by the commission, which is on the agenda. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this public comment portion of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. So we're asking anybody from the audience if there's any comments for items most likely not on the agenda yet. Seeing none, good. We'll move forward with the agenda. Approval of minutes. We have some minutes from the January 25th meeting. A whole three pages, huh, Kathy? These are probably nice for the recorder. Two. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Part of its template. So can I either a motion or anything?
I'll make a motion. We accept the minutes as written.
I have a second, Commissioner Vance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Staff public service announcements. Announcements of a general nature for the commission. Anything?
No, Mr. Chairman. Moving and did on. You skip over item D?
I could have very easily. I did. I need to go back and practice the alphabet here. See, there we go. Modification agenda. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. So is there any changes to the agenda? Okay. Thanks, Jennifer. Disclosures. Any member of the commission have any disclosures for any items on the agenda tonight?
Nope.
Seeing none, we move forward. Nothing on the consent agenda tonight. So we're into the public hearing matters. The following items, there's two tonight, are scheduled for a public hearing. The chairman will read the agenda listing into the public record. Staff will present a summary of the staff report and recommendations, including any updated information that was received after the date when staff reports were distributed. The commission will follow with questions of staff, then the representatives are permitted to speak first, followed by the commission questions. This will be followed by the chairman requesting comments from the public at large. If you wish to speak on a particular item, please limit your comments to 3 minutes and be as brief and concise as possible so that all who wish to speak may do so. Do not repeat the positions of others who express the same views as you. The chairman has the right to establish time limits for comments and to allow for rebuttal. In order to be a part of the administrative record regarding an appeal of an item, you must present your comments at the podium or have previously sent correspondence to the planning division or spoken to staff regarding an item on the agenda. First item on the agenda is H1, special use permit 05-258. For possible action to consider requests from Virginia Erskine, I hope that's Erskine or Erskine, owner Virginia Erskine, for a 5-year review of a previously approved special use permit to allow the continued use of two metal storage containers on property zone retail commercial located at 3129 South Carson Street, APN 009-112-10. Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jennifer Pruitt, Planning Division. This special use permit is before you today for the reason pursuant to Carson City Municipal Code Development Standards 1.10.9, storage containers may be located on site for a maximum of 5 years after approval of a special use permit, and typically the special use permit is reviewed every 5 years. This particular special use permit was initially approved by the Planning Commission in January of 2006. The storage containers that are on this site are used for the residential tenants on site. They utilize the containers to store their wares. The subject site is located on the frontage road, and there are multiple uses on this particular property. There are residential uses as well as commercial uses, and the storage uses are on site as well. I would also like to note that the containers are located on the rear of the property, and they are painted white. They're not visible from the street. As noted, the containers have been on site since 2003, actually, and there has been no complaints submitted to the Planning Division regarding the placement of these containers. This particular container is the westernmost container. As I noted, it's painted white. It doesn't have any signage on the container. And the second container on site is located more so on the eastern portion of the site. Again, it's also painted white with no signage located on the container. And the last picture that we have for you today is a picture of the duplex unit that's on the property. And the property owner has included a letter in your packet that identifies that the occupants of the duplex utilize the storage containers that are on site. We have not received any comments from adjacent property owners. We sent out notices to 30 adjacent property owners within 450 feet of the subject site. We also solicited comments from the Building Division, Fire Department, Engineering Division, Parks and Rec, Health Department, and Environmental Health, and none of those departments or divisions had concerns regarding the continuation of the storage containers on site. Staff is recommending approval. We've included a condition that notes that this item would have a five-year approval. Staff, we are available if you have any questions, and the property owners are here to address any questions that you have as well.
Any questions of staff? Seeing none, can I the applicant come up? Whichever one? That one, he points to you. Can you come up, sir, and just identify yourself for us? I'm going to ask you a question. Or
Gene Erskine, my wife is the property owner. I'm her husband.
Gene, so the only question I have to ask you is, do you agree with the conditions of approval for this that are listed on there?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Did you have any comment you wanted to make to us?
Well, the reason we put those in the first place is, as you can see from the picture, that's a duplex and it's not very big. And so the tenants didn't have any real storage facility. So those are not cargo containers. They're very attractive truck bodies. They're baked aluminum, white baked aluminum, and we've kept them in perfect condition. Developed a leak in one of them, and I had to replace the roof. But aside from that, until the notices were sent out, I don't think anybody even knows that they're there, because they are virtually very, very hard to see from anywhere, even on our property.
Any questions? Are they sitting on a concrete pad or anything, or on wooden beams, or are they just sitting on the ground, gravel or something?
No, they have an aluminum, because they are truck bodies. They have a 4-inch aluminum frame all the way around. So when they were lifted off the trucks, they're far, far superior in appearances and ease to get into them, as opposed to a cargo container. Cargo containers are usually steel, and they're heavy and they rust. And because this is all aluminum, and because we've kept it in excellent condition, we don't have to do anything to the actual body, because it is aluminum and it is baked enamel. So they should last for a long time.
Did you put the roof on that one?
Pardon?
It looks like a trussed roof on top of it.
That's the one that leaked.
I was going to say, is that how you fixed the leak? I wonder if you just put a new top
on
it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the one there that actually leaked, and leaked in the back, and I put a regular roof like you'd put on the house to go along with the decor.
All right, is there any other questions besides mine there? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to us. You can have a seat then if you'd like. You can go ahead and have a seat if you'd like.
Thank you.
And then I have to see if there's any public comment, which I don't see a lot of.
As noted, the containers have been on site since 2003, actually, and there has been no complaints submitted to the Planning Division regarding the placement of these containers. This particular container is the westernmost container. As I noted, it's painted white. It doesn't have any signage on the container. And the second container on site is located more so on the eastern portion of the site. Again, it's also painted white with no signage located on the container. And the last picture that we have for you today is a picture of the duplex unit that's on the property. And the property owner has included a letter in your packet that identifies that the occupants of the duplex utilize the storage containers that are on site. We have not received any comments from adjacent property owners. We sent out notices to 30 adjacent property owners within 450 feet of the subject site. We also solicited comments from the Building Division, Fire Department, Engineering Division, Parks and Rec, Health Department, and Environmental Health, and none of those departments or divisions had concerns regarding the continuation of the storage containers on site. Staff is recommending approval. We've included a condition that notes that this item would have a five-year approval. Staff, we are available if you have any questions, and the property owners are here to address any questions that you have as well.
Any questions of staff? Seeing none, can I the applicant come up? Whichever one? That one, he points to you. Can you come up, sir, and just identify yourself for us? I'm going to ask you a question. Or
Gene Erskine, my wife is the property owner. I'm her husband.
Gene, so the only question I have to ask you is, do you agree with the conditions of approval for this that are listed on there?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Did you have any comment you wanted to make to us?
Well, the reason we put those in the first place is, as you can see from the picture, that's a duplex and it's not very big. And so the tenants didn't have any real storage facility. So those are not cargo containers. They're very attractive truck bodies. They're baked aluminum, white baked aluminum, and we've kept them in perfect condition. Developed a leak in one of them, and I had to replace the roof. But aside from that, until the notices were sent out, I don't think anybody even knows that they're there, because they are virtually very, very hard to see from anywhere, even on our property.
Any questions? Are they sitting on a concrete pad or anything, or on wooden beams, or are they just sitting on the ground, gravel or something?
No, they have a an aluminum, because they are truck bodies. They have a like a 4-inch aluminum frame all the way around. So when they were lifted off the trucks, they're far superior in appearances and ease to get into them, as opposed to a cargo container. Cargo containers are usually steel, and they're heavy and they rust. Mm-hmm. And because this is all aluminum, and because we've kept it in excellent condition, we don't have to do anything to the actual body, because it is aluminum and it is baked enamel. So they should last for a long time.
Did you put the roof on that one?
Pardon?
It looks like a trussed roof on top of it.
That's the one that leaked.
I was going to say, is that how you fixed the leak? I wonder if you just put a new top on it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. It that's the one there that actually leaked, and leaked in the back, and I put a regular roof like you'd put on the house to go along with the decor.
All right. Is there any other questions besides mine there? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to us. You can have a seat then if you'd like. You can go ahead and have a seat if you'd like.
Thank you.
And then I have to see if there's any public comment, which I don't see a lot of public comment, because I think the other applicant's in the audience here. So seeing no public comment, I bring back the commission for either comments or a motion. Go ahead. We'll welcome you back, and you can make a motion.
Thank you, sir. I move to approve SGP-05-258, a special use permit request from Virginia R. Artsakhan for a five-year review of two existing storage containers permanently placed on property in retail commercial zoning district located at 3129 South Carson Street, APN 009-112-10, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Eswine seconds. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Unanimous. Thank you. See you in 5 years. For the record.
Apologize for being late.
It's all right. Remember, that means dinner at Adele's tonight for the commission.
That's what I heard.
Small price. Yeah, that. Either tardiness or cell phone. Oh, oh.
That's the miss more than one.
The DA's in here. I can't do that with the DA in there. Oh, she shrugged his shoulder. All right, second item on the agenda is H2. Action to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. Let me do AB-12-005. Action to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding application for abandonment of public right-of-way from Loomis and Associates, property owner John and Francis McGinnis, to abandon 7 feet of right-of-way adjacent to North Walsh and 8 feet of right-of-way adjacent to East Caroline, a property located at 601 and 613 North Walsh, APN 004-246-01 and 03. Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, the application that's before you today is a right-of-way abandonment for a portion of Caroline Street, East Caroline Street, and also North Wall Street. And I would like to note that the property owner is not here this evening, but her nephew is here, and he will be able to address any questions you have after my presentation. And I'll also have the city engineer, Mr. Jeff Sharp, address the commission after I'm finished with the few items related to the right-of-way abandonment. So the subject site is located south of Caroline Street, and what's interesting about this property is there are three parcels of land in this city block, and they're all owned by the property owner. So they own all three of the parcels. The first parcel that's included, there's only two parcels that are included in the abandonment that's before you today. And the two parcels are the northern parcel, which is the northern half of the city block, and the southwestern corner is also included in the right-of-way abandonment. I would also like to note that on the northern parcel, there's a single-family dwelling unit. It's approximately 100 years old. And that particular structure is built. There's a portion of the structure that's built in the right-of-way. And there's also a single-car garage on the northern portion as well in this area. And probably one-third of that structure is located in the right-of-way. So as a result of the abandonment, specifically on Caroline, a majority of the structures will be not located in the right-of-way. I believe maybe 1 foot of the detached structure will be. And on this particular aerial photograph, it does show a structure in this area which has been removed from the site, so it's no longer on the site. Now, as I noted, also there's a portion of North Walsh that is being abandoned as well, and I do have some photographs to identify those areas for you. This particular picture was taken from Robinson Street looking northeast, and you can see
the comment because I think the other applicant's in the audience here. So seeing no public comment, I bring back the commission for either comments or a motion. Go ahead. We'll welcome you back and you can make a motion.
Thank you, sir. I move to approve SGP-05-258 A special use permit request from Virginia R. Artsakhan for a five-year review of two existing storage containers permanently placed on property in retail commercial zoning district located at 3129 South Carson Street, APN 009-112-10, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Eswine seconds. Any discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Unanimous. Thank you. See you in 5 years. For the record.
Apologize for being late.
It's all right. Remember, that means dinner at Adele's tonight for the commission.
That's what I heard.
Small price.
Yeah, that. Either tardiness or cell phone. Oh.
That's the Miss Morton.
The DA's in here. I can't do that with the DA in the room here. Oh, she shrugged his shoulder. All right, second item on the agenda is H2. Action to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. AB-12-005. Action to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors regarding application for abandonment of public right-of-way from Loomis and Associates, property owner John and Francis McGinnis, to abandon 7 feet of right-of-way adjacent to North Walsh and 8 feet of right-of-way adjacent to East Caroline, a property located at 601 and 613 North Walsh, APN 004-246-01 and 03. Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, the application that's before you today is a right-of-way abandonment for a portion of Caroline Street, East Caroline Street, and also North Wall Street. And I would like to note that the property owner is not here this evening, but her nephew is here, and he will be able to address any questions you have after my presentation. And I'll also have the city engineer, Mr. Jeff Sharp, address the commission after I'm finished with a few items related to the right-of-way abandonment. So the subject site is located south of Caroline Street. And what's interesting about this property is there are three parcels of land in this city block, and they're all owned by the property owner. So they own all three of the parcels. The first parcel that's included, there's only two parcels that are included in the abandonment that's before you today. And the two parcels are the northern parcel, which is the northern half of the city block, and the southwestern corner is also included in the right-of-way abandonment. I would also like to note that on the northern parcel, there's a single-family dwelling unit. It's approximately 100 years old. And that particular structure is built. There's a portion of the structure that's built in the right-of-way. And there's also a single-car garage on the northern portion as well in this area. And probably one-third of that structure is located in the right-of-way. So as a result of the abandonment, specifically on Caroline, a majority of the structures will be not located in the right-of-way. I believe maybe 1 foot of the detached structure will be. And on this particular aerial photograph, it does show a structure in this area which has been removed from the site, so it's no longer on the site. Now, as I noted, also there's a portion of North Walsh that is being abandoned as well, and I do have some photographs to identify those areas for you. This particular picture was taken from Robinson Street looking northeast, and you can see that the fencing is probably near the property line, and the applicant is proposing a portion of this area here to be abandoned. Mr. Sharp will address some other areas related to this abandonment as well. And this is a straight shot looking from East Robinson, looking north, where you can see that the fencing is located, I believe, outside of the right-of-way, and you can see how wide the area is left. Another picture that shows the North Wall Street in the area. This particular area is not improved. It doesn't have sidewalk currently in that location. We also have a picture identified from the north, and you can see where the single-family dwelling unit, that a portion of it, I believe about 2 feet, is actually located in the right-of-way. Also, the fencing along this area is located in the right-of-way. And as I noted previously, probably one-third of this particular carriage house structure is located in the right-of-way. We sent out notices to all of the adjacent property owners in the area. Right-of-way abandonments typically are noticed differently than special use permits and variances. The Planning Division were required to notify the adjacent property owners via certified mail, and that was done in this case. We received no comments from any of the adjacent property owners. I would also like to note that we received comments from the Engineering Division, and those are included in your packet. We also received comments from the Building Division, Fire Department, Health Department, as well as Environmental Control, and they had no concerns regarding the abandonment that's before you today. And for those of you that are not familiar with how abandonments are processed, typically when an applicant is interested in processing a right-of-way abandonment, they are required to contact the Engineering Division first. So before an application is submitted to the Planning Division, they are required to have a consultation with the Engineering Division and address what Carson City's future plans are for that right-of-way. And that evaluation was done with this particular abandonment. And I believe I touched on it in the staff report that initially the applicant included a portion of Robinson Street in their abandonment request. And after their consultation with the city engineer, it was determined that the Robinson Street abandonment should be delayed at this time because of some future improvements that Carson City is anticipating on Roop Street. So at this time, staff is recommending approval of the recommendation for the right-of-way abandonment, and I would ask that the city engineer, Mr. Sharp, could address the commission to provide some additional information regarding this application.
I'm here to answer questions. For the record, Jeff Sharp, city engineer. Just a brief overview. We kept enough right-of-way along both Walsh and Caroline Street frontages so that if there's future development on this property, sidewalks can be put on either one of these streets. You can see from the photos that Walsh Street is pretty well graded out already, so it lends itself real well to putting a sidewalk in the future. The city doesn't have any plans to build a sidewalk here, but it would be a requirement if there was any kind of a subdivision or any sort of a redevelopment of this site. The Caroline right-of-way is a little more tight. There's an existing overhead power lines on Caroline as well as some trees. Most likely on Caroline, we have enough right-of-way here for the street plus the sidewalks. The most likely scenario for putting a sidewalk on Caroline is to actually move the curb line in towards the center of the road a few feet. There is enough room here. Strictly speaking, we've left enough room between about 6 feet between the existing curb and the right-of-way line. That carriage house is still, I believe, going to be about a foot or a little less than a foot into the right-of-way, so we haven't cured that problem completely.
The fencing is probably near the property line, and the applicant is proposing a portion of this area here to be abandoned. Mr. Sharp will address some other areas related to this abandonment as well. And this is a straight shot looking from East Robinson, looking north, where you can see that the fencing is located, I believe, outside of the right-of-way. And you can see how wide the area is left. Another picture that shows the North Wall Street in the area. This particular area is not improved. It doesn't have sidewalk currently in that location. We also have a picture identified from the north, and you can see where the single-family dwelling unit, that a portion of it, I believe about 2 feet, is actually located in the right-of-way. Also, the fencing along this area is located in the right-of-way. And as I noted previously, probably one-third of this particular carriage house structure is located in the right-of-way. We sent out notices to all of the adjacent property owners in the area. Right-of-way abandonments typically are noticed differently than special use permits and variances. The Planning Division were required to notify the adjacent property owners via certified mail, and that was done in this case. We received no comments from any of the adjacent property owners. I would also like to note that we received comments from the Engineering Division, and those are included in your packet. We also received comments from the Building Division, Fire Department, Health Department, as well as Environmental Control, and they had no concerns regarding the abandonment that's before you today. And for those of you that are not familiar with how abandonments are processed, typically when an applicant is interested in processing a right-of-way abandonment, they are required to contact the Engineering Division first. So before an application is submitted to the Planning Division, they are required to have a consultation with the Engineering Division and address what Carson City's future plans are for that right-of-way. And that evaluation was done with this particular abandonment. And I believe I touched on it in the staff report that initially the applicant included a portion of Robinson Street in their abandonment request. And after their consultation with the city engineer, it was determined that the Robinson Street abandonment should be delayed at this time because of some future improvements that Carson City is anticipating on Roop Street. So at this time, staff is recommending approval of the recommendation for the right-of-way abandonment, and I would ask that the city engineer, Mr. Sharp, could address the commission to provide some additional information regarding this application.
I'm here to answer questions. For the record, Jeff Sharp, city engineer. Just a brief overview. We kept enough right-of-way along both Walsh and Caroline Street frontages so that if there's future development on this property, sidewalks can be put on either one of these streets. You can see from the photos that Walsh Street is pretty well graded out already, so it lends itself real well to putting a sidewalk in the future. The city doesn't have any plans to build a sidewalk here, but it would be a requirement if there was any kind of a subdivision or any sort of a redevelopment of this site. The Caroline right-of-way is a little more tight. There's an existing overhead power lines on Caroline as well as some trees. Most likely on Caroline, we have enough right-of-way here for the street plus the sidewalks. The most likely scenario for putting a sidewalk on Caroline is to actually move the curb line in towards the center of the road a few feet. There is enough room here. Strictly speaking, we've left enough room between about 6 feet between the existing curb and the right-of-way line. That carriage house is still, I believe, going to be about a foot or a little less than a foot into the right-of-way, so we haven't cured that problem completely. But we wanted to leave enough room there that you could build a sidewalk, in theory, once the existing obstructions are removed. you know, the primary reason we wanted to do these abandonments and the applicant as well is to get this house so that it's actually on the property and not out in the city right of way. And we've kept enough right of way in both cases. These are local streets, and we don't typically keep more than a 50-foot right of way, and so we've kept enough right of way here for any sort of future additions for sidewalks. So hopefully that explains everything. I certainly can answer questions.
Where this picture is the fence roughly on the easement now? Is that roughly where it's going to be, the abandonment, or is that fence?
Yeah,
this is actually outside the fence somewhere.
There's about 6 feet.
About 6 feet from the curb.
From
going
the curb
in
will be the right of way line, and I'm not sure if that fence. It kind of looks close, pretty close, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually the fence now is in the right-of-way, and the house is actually very close to it as well.
I think the fence is just, well, yeah, they're well into the right-of-way now because they're proposing an 8-foot abandonment along Caroline, yeah. So.
Thank you.
But after the abandonment, the fence will be right close to the right-of-way, the new right-of-way line.
So did it take us 100 years to get this squared away? Is that kind
yeah.
of yeah?
It was fast track.
Yeah,
fast track. Right.
So, is that create a title problem for somebody if they try to sell their house and they find their house in the right way, or is that like grandfathered in? I would guess, huh?
Streets would probably go around.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder how that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's an easy, kind of an easy fix because there's no loss to anybody in the community. So.
Yeah, I mean, we figured. Yeah. Nobody's probably going to care too much about the garage structure.
Right.
It's pretty, you know, I think it has a dirt floor. It's pretty far gone. There was a similar structure Jennifer already mentioned that was on the corner of Caroline and Roop, and we removed that with our Roop Street project. Mm-hmm. So we didn't think that the garage was long for the world, but the house maybe, and so it seemed like a good idea to get that into on private property.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Just out of curiosity, Jeff, will the surrounding blocks have the same right-of-way width, or is this going to be an anomaly within the division?
It'll be an anomaly. I think most of these blocks are 66 feet wide, as was Caroline and Walsh before the proposed abandonment. So that's just the way they laid out this subdivision.
Right.
100 years ago, and but as people redevelop these, it's most likely we will continue to do these strip abandonments because we don't need 66 feet wide for a road and a sidewalk. So I anticipate that as these are redeveloped, everyone will be coming in and asking for, you know, 7 to 8 feet of a right-of-way abandonment along their properties in the future.
Thank you.
What triggers the sidewalk development? Does it take a total new structure on that lot, or even anything that requires a permit? What would trigger a sidewalk being built on that?
It's most likely a subdivision. If they were going to build a new, like create a new lot and build a new,
like a new
residence.
Apartment building complex, like we just had here.
Yeah, I mean, right now they have. Well, this entire block is all owned by the same owner, and they have three separate lots. So, and are there three? Yeah, there's three houses already. So, essentially, if they needed to add the fourth house, then that could trigger some sort of frontage improvements.
Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily trigger frontage improvements around the entire four sides of the block. Roop Street's already built out, so that's taken care of. But for instance, if they were going to want to split the northern half of it into two lots, and the way Jennifer's map is drawn, it looks like there's two lots on the north, but there's only one. So if they wanted to split that lot, that could trigger frontage improvements along Caroline and half of Walsh. So that's kind of the way we look at it.
Just a little education for us. Any other questions? Seeing none, an applicant's nephew can come up.
But we wanted to leave enough room there that you could build a sidewalk in theory once the existing obstructions are removed. you know, the primary reason we wanted to do these abandonments, and the applicant as well, is to get this house so that it's actually on the property and not out in the city right-of-way. And we've kept enough right-of-way in both cases. These are local streets, and we don't typically keep more than a 50-foot right-of-way, and so we've kept enough right-of-way here for any sort of future additions for sidewalks. So hopefully that explains everything. I certainly can answer questions.
Where this picture, is the fence roughly on the easement now? Is that roughly where it's going to be, the abandonment? Or is that fence, actually outside the fence somewhere?
There's about 6 feet.
About 6 feet from the curb
going in. From the curb in will be the right-of-way line, and I'm not sure if that fence, it kind of looks close, pretty close, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So actually the fence now is in the right-of-way, and the house is actually very close to it as well.
I think the fence is just, well, yeah, they're well into the right-of-way now because they're proposing an 8-foot abandonment along Caroline, yeah, so. But after the abandonment, the fence will be right close to the right-of-way, the new right-of-way line.
So did it take us 100 years to get this squared away? Is that kind
yeah.
of?
Yeah.
It was fast track.
Yeah.
Yeah, fast track, right.
So does that create a title problem for somebody if they try to sell their house and they find their house in the right-of-way? Or is that like grandfathered in, I would guess, huh?
Streets would probably go around.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder how that happened. Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's an easy, kind of an easy fix because there's no loss to anybody in the community. So.
Yeah, I mean, we figured nobody's probably going to care too much about the garage structure.
Right.
It's pretty, you know, I think it has a dirt floor. It's pretty far gone. There was a similar structure Jennifer already mentioned that was on the corner of Caroline and Roop, and we removed that with our Roop Street project. Okay. So, we didn't think that the garage was long for the world, but the house maybe, and so it seemed like a good idea to get that into on private property.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Just out of curiosity, Jeff, will the surrounding blocks have the same right-of-way width, or is this going to be an anomaly within the division?
It'll be an anomaly. I think most of these blocks are 66 feet wide, as was Caroline and Walsh before the proposed abandonment. So that's just the way they laid out this subdivision
right.
100 years ago. And but as people redevelop these, it's most likely we will continue to do these strip abandonments because we don't need 66 feet wide for a road and a sidewalk. So I anticipate that as these are redeveloped, everyone will be coming in and asking for, you know, 7 to 8 feet of a right-of-way abandonment along their properties in the future.
Thank you.
What triggers the sidewalk development? Does it take a total new structure on that lot or even anything that requires a permit? What would trigger a sidewalk being built on that?
It's most likely a subdivision if they were going to build a new, like create a new lot and build a new
like a new
residence.
Apartment building complex like we just had here.
Yeah, I mean, right now they have, well, this entire block is all owned by the same owner, and they have three separate lots. So, and are there three? Yeah, there's three houses already. So, essentially, if they needed to add the fourth house, then that could trigger some sort of frontage improvements.
Yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily trigger frontage improvements around the entire four sides of the block. Roop Street's already built out, so that's taken care of. But, for instance, if they were going to want to split the northern half of it into two lots, and the way Jennifer's map is drawn, it looks like there's two lots on the north, but there's only one. So if they wanted to split that lot, that could trigger frontage improvements along Caroline and half of Walsh. Huh. So that's kind of the way we look at it.
Just a little education for us. Any other questions? Seeing none, applicant's nephew can come up, I guess. Please state your name.
My name's Ken Booty, and I'm representing my aunt who owns the properties held in trust for. It was originally a family property.
I just have one question I need to ask. If I assume you're speaking for your aunt, that you agree to the conditions of approval, which
yes,
are written in this?
Yes, sir. Okay.
That's the only thing we need. Did you want to make any other statements to the commission about this?
No, I can't think of anything that I think everything's been covered.
Okay, that's fine. Any questions, the applicant? Seeing none, you will call the public up, which there are none of.
Not much public today. Yeah. Thank you very much.
The Bannerman issue didn't hit the public need for testimony here tonight. So, if bring it back to the commission's, any other comments of motion? And he's got his finger on the trigger there. So, Commissioner Sattler.
I'll make a motion. I move to recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve an abandonment of public right-of-way application AB-12-005 for an 8-foot-wide portion of East Caroline Street and a 7-foot-wide portion of North Wall Street adjacent to properties located at 601 North Wall Street and 613 North Wall Street. APN 004-246-01 and 004-246-03 based on the 7 findings and subject to conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Vance, second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Unanimous. You now have more area to mow. Well, that took care of the action items. Now we're at public comment period, which there are no public, so I don't think I need to read that into the record with nobody here tonight. I passed over G. No, I passed over
I. Staff report.
I. Staff reports. Oh, we could have public comments. Well, that was their chance at the front end, too. So members of public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium this time and speak on any matters not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. Comments are listed 3 minutes. No action may be taken on a matter raised under the public comment portion of this agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. You have another shot to come up to the podium now.
It's tempting, but
okay. All right. So actually, I got to move backwards here. So yeah, we'll move it back to staff reports, director's reports to the planning commission.
Thank you, and thanks to Jennifer for taking those items. I'll try not to cough as I talk here. Just real quick. I don't have anything specific to report. I just got a couple things. On the last month at the Board of Supervisors, there weren't any items that went in Planning Commission items that went to the Board of Supervisors, so I don't have anything to report on there. For next month's meeting, I wanted to note that you've received the applications. We have a special use permit in from the Cal Ranch, the new Cal Ranch store that's going in and actually going to open right around the time of or very shortly after your next meeting. But the special use permit is not for the store, it's for outdoor display.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowed to do that on a temporary basis for a limited period of time, but they want to establish a more permanent program for displaying some of their wares outside, so that'll be before you next month. We also have a special use permit and variance from Seeliger School for a minor expansion, actually redoing the entryway for security purposes going into the school and reconfiguring some of the access around there. So anybody has interest in either of those applications, those you can contact the planning division, and we have those files and applications for anybody to look at. Also for next month, I'll put back on the agenda at the request of Commissioner Wendell some discussion about our meeting times. So that'll be on there. We can discuss that. And then the only other thing I wanted to note is that when you walked in, you had a couple of copies of these things in front of you, and those were copies from the American Planning Association webinar that was held a week or two ago on informed decisions and making decisions. It was pretty good. But so these are just for you to take home and read a little bit, something about site visits and findings.
Please state your name.
My name's Ken Booty, and I'm representing my aunt who owns the properties held in trust. It was originally a family property.
I just have one question I need to ask. I assume you're speaking for your aunt, that you agree to the conditions of approval, which
yes,
are written in this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all we need. Did you want to make any other statements to the commission about this?
No, I can't think of anything that I think everything's been covered.
Okay, that's fine. Any questions, the applicant? Seeing none, you will call the public up, which there are none of.
Not much public.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The Bannerman issue didn't hit the public need for testimony here tonight. So, if bring it back to the commission's, any other comments of motion? And he's got his finger on the trigger there. So, Commissioner Sattler.
I'll make a motion. I move to recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve an abandonment of public right-of-way application AB-12-005 for an 8-foot-wide portion of East Caroline Street and a 7-foot-wide portion of North Wall Street, adjacent to properties located at 601 North Wall Street and 613 North Wall Street, APN 004-246-01 and 004-246-03, based on the 7 findings and subject to conditions of approval contained in the staff report.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Vance, second. Any more discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Unanimous. You now have more area to mow. Well, that took care of the action items. Now we're at public comment period, which there are no public, so I don't think I need to read that into the record with nobody here tonight. I passed over G. No, I passed over
I. Staff report.
I. Staff reports. Oh, we could have public comments. Well, that was their chance at the front end, too. So members of the public who wish to address the commission may approach the podium this time and speak on any matters not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. Comments are listed 3 minutes. No action may be taken on a matter raised under the public comment portion of this agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. You have another shot to come up to the podium now.
It's tempting, but
okay. All right. So actually, I got to move backwards here. So yeah, we'll move it back to staff reports, director's reports to the planning commission.
Thank you, and thanks to Jennifer for taking those items. I'll try not to cough as I talk here. Just real quick. I don't have anything specific to report. I just got a couple things. On the last month at the Board of Supervisors, there weren't any items that went in Planning Commission items that went to the Board of Supervisors, so I don't have anything to report on there. For next month's meeting, I wanted to note that you've received the applications. We have a special use permit in from the Cal Ranch, the new Cal Ranch store that's going in and actually going to open right around the time of or very shortly after your next meeting. But the special use permit is not for the store, it's for outdoor display.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowed to do that on a temporary basis for a limited period of time, but they want to establish a more permanent program for displaying some of their wares outside, so that'll be before you next month. We also have a special use permit and variance from Seeliger School for a minor expansion, actually redoing the entryway for security purposes going into the school and reconfiguring some of the access around there. So anybody has interest in either of those applications, those you can contact the planning division, and we have those files and applications for anybody to look at. Also for next month, I'll put back on the agenda at the request of Commissioner Wendell some discussion about our meeting times. So that'll be on there. We can discuss that. And then the only other thing I wanted to note is that when you walked in, you had a couple of copies of these things in front of you, and those were copies from the American Planning Association webinar that was held a week or two ago on informed decisions and making decisions. It was pretty good. But so these are just for you to take home and read a little bit, something about site visits and findings of fact. And I know under commissioner reports, Commissioner Chairman Kimbrough would like to bring up some points regarding that, so I'll let him do that when his time comes there. But that's all I had to report.
Okay. It's great to see that Safeway get filled in so quick. I've spent money in that store in Elko. It's a great, kind of a unique store with all kinds of cool stuff in it, actually. It's like the old style hardware stores with all these different items in there. It's pretty cool. I think it's more of a local family thing. Yeah, but it's a great store. That was really exciting. So under commissioner reports or comments, I'll start from the left. None? I want us to stay here later, so that's a comment here.
I'm already 10 minutes past the last one.
Well, we had a great training session that we had some discussion that Mr. Commissioner Eswine was there and... George, the other one, person, Commissioner Wendell was there. And it was one of those computer-generated ones, but the materials were good, and I wanted to go over a few of those things because I thought some of them were important. But the first question I had on my mind is they were talking about the processes that take place at the commission for these action items. But I was curious to ask this of Lee, that we're an advisory group. So is it really us that's taken to task, or is it the Board of Supervisors would be taken to task for the decision? You know how they overrule the decision that the Planning Commission makes, but we're only advisory in this case. And I know some situations Planning Commissions are not advisory. They're actually regulatory and can make those decisions. So you'd think it would be them, not us, because of the way we might deny a permit that we can. If we're taken to task, or is it the Board of Supervisors taken to task?
Or both.
I don't know. You might need to be more specific what taken to task means. I think if someone feels that your decision was improper, they have the right to appeal. You have the final decision authority, so you do make the findings and go through the process of making the findings for approval for special use permits, variances. Those are the two.
Right, there's two of them, yeah.
So if somebody thinks your decision was not right because of didn't make the right findings, they have the right to appeal.
Just for those situations, would be us.
Well,
that would be the.
Yeah. What do you mean by
plaintiffs?
I'm trying to think of a situation where you would be sued for the decision without somebody appealing.
Don't they normally appeal to the board? I mean, if they don't like what we did, they have the right to, because the board's the final approval.
We're talking about the decision, not conduct. Now you are.
Well, it can be related to conduct.
You are responsible for your conduct.
But which is another part of that training. But part of that training was the fact that you don't want to put yourself in a position to be taken to court or in a disagreement. But usually, if you see these ones in Reno where they'll deny a sign or something. Is it the Planning Commission that's actually the plaintiff, and is that the right word? I don't know how it works with lawyers, because it sounds like we don't go to court. They just take the written records of the meeting and review those.
Let's say we deny a
billboard. The Planning Commission does, and that's not a special use permit. So the Board of Supervisors make the final decision. We're advisory, so they deny the billboard.
A bad example, because, you approved the bill. That's a special use permit.
That was a bad example. We approve. We disapprove it like we did before. We've disapproved one once before. So if that person decides that, I saw in Reno, there's the lighting rules that were set up. Somebody's fighting them on the fact that that they feel they could have lights on their billboard signs or something. I can't remember what it was. So is it the record of this Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, or is it just the Planning Commission? I mean, is it the process if you get somebody who wants to fight you?
Maureen Scully, for the record, Deputy DA. I guess I'm a little unclear on specific. If you've made a decision and it's a final decision, whatever it is, if it's in your realm and it's a final decision.
And I know under commissioner reports, Commissioner Chairman Kimbrough would like to bring up some points regarding that, so I'll let him do that when his time comes there. But that's all I had to report.
Okay. It's great to see that Safeway get filled in so quick. I've spent money in that store in Elko. It's a great, kind of a unique store with all kinds of cool stuff in it, actually. It's like the old style hardware stores with all these different items in there. It's pretty cool. I think it's more of a local family thing. Yeah, but it's a great store. That was really exciting. So under commissioner reports or comments, I'll start from the left. None. I want us to stay here later, so that's a comment here.
I'm already 10 minutes. Yes. Last one.
Well, we had a great training session that we had some discussion that Mr. Commissioner Eswine was there and George, the other one person, Commissioner Wendell was there. And it was one of those computer-generated ones, but the materials were good, and I wanted to go over a few of those things because I thought some of them were important. But the first question I had in my mind is they were talking about there's processes that take place at the commission for these action items. But I was curious to ask this of Lee, that we're an advisory group. So is it really us that's taken to task, or is it the Board of Supervisors would be taken to task for the decision? You know how they overrule the decision that the Planning Commission makes, but we're only advisory in this case. And I know some situations Planning Commissions are not advisory. They're actually regulatory and can make those decisions. So you'd think it would be them, not us, because of the way we might deny a permit that we can. If we're taken to task, or is it the Board of Supervisors taken to task?
Or both. I don't know. You might need to be more specific what taken to task means. I think if someone feels that your decision was improper, they have the right to appeal. You have the final decision authority, so you do make the findings and go through the process of making the findings for approval for special use permits, variances. Those are the two.
Right, there's two of them, yeah.
So if somebody thinks your decision was not right because of didn't make the right findings, they have the right to appeal.
Just for those situations, would be us.
Well,
that would be the.
Yeah. What do you mean by
plaintiffs?
I'm trying to think of a situation where you would be sued for the decision without somebody appealing.
Don't they normally appeal to the board? I mean, if they don't like what we did, they have the right to, because the board's the final approval.
We're talking about the decision, not conduct. Now you are
responsible for your conduct. But which is another part of that training. But part of that training was the fact that you don't want to put yourself in a position to be taken to court or in a disagreement. But usually, if you see these ones in Reno where they'll deny a sign or something. Is it the Planning Commission that's actually the plaintiff in that situation? Is that the right word? I don't know how it works with lawyers. Because it sounds like we don't go to court. They just take the written records of the meeting and review those. Let's say we deny a billboard. The Planning Commission does. And that's not a special use permit. So the Board of Supervisors make the final decision. We're advisory. So they deny the billboard.
A bad example because, no, you approved the bill. That's a special use permit.
Special use permit. That was a bad example. We approve. We disapprove it like we did before. We've disapproved one once before. So if that person decides that, I saw in Reno, there's the lighting rules that were set up. Somebody's fighting them on the fact that that they feel they could have lights on their billboard signs or something. I can't remember what it was. So is it the record of this Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, or is it just the Planning Commission? I mean, is it the process if you get somebody who wants to fight you?
Maureen Scully, for the record, Deputy DA. I guess I'm a little unclear on specific. If you've made a decision, it's a final decision, whatever it is. If it's in your realm and it's a final decision and somebody wants to challenge it, then they would go – through the judicial review, it's called, and they would file a petition for judicial review and be based on your record alone. If you're just making an advisory decision or opinion, it would go to the next level, which would be the Board of Supervisors, and if they deny or allow or whatever the situation is, then that would be, the petition would be, for judicial review, would be based on that decision.
That decision.
So it depends on what you're ruling on and if it's in
your... Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So that the process that we go through in the cases where we're the final authority is more important for us maybe as a commission than the ones that we advise to, but literally not, because we try to be just as fair for all situations.
Right, but technically you're right. It would be the appealable decision.
But the example, we just had that fourplex. Was that advisory on our part, or was that we approved that, and it went to the board, and they're going to kick it back to us, correct?
Yeah, I think I wanted to clarify, though, that's correct, though. I mean, so even where you potentially have the final decision, it can be appealed to the board. But I think in the context of what he's asking is if there's somebody's, if we're there are improper findings that are maybe on, there's something improper about the way the meeting was conducted or some action that's not necessarily the decision. It's not an appeal of the decision, but I don't know.
Well, that's part of it. You have findings. That's where it's a little twisted here. So that's why they say the findings are so important. And I liked
the fact that they address findings are important at this level when you make findings, yeah.
If we deny, you can't deny somebody, you can't deny. What we have to do is approve the negative side, which we haven't done much of here. So that means if we turn down somebody's request, we can't just say no. We have to turn around and find the finding that says why we're turning it
like
down.
The window.
So that's, they put the findings in there, which was important, which is part of the training that I was, that's what you guys do. You give us findings. So that's like the example was the duplex. This board couldn't find any reason that the duplex in the findings
to not
approve it. So at least that wasn't there at that meeting. Not say that there was or wasn't. But sometimes we'll have two votes against something and three for it, so it passes, so you're not at the point of finding the findings. But one of the practices you might get into, if you feel that way, is you're looking at the findings. So when I ask for additional dialogue on a motion, that's your chance to say, this finding I disagree with, and that's why I'm voting no. That will help the process rather than just saying no. And that also gives you a chance to let the other commissioners to think about the same thing, too, that finding, as they read it and explain it, maybe that's why. Because there's sometimes I vote for things I don't agree with because there's no findings in there that would relate to the positive or negative of that vote. So, and they went through that. There's a checklist on how the staff does a good job, and we use them as technical knowledge for this process. What I was surprised is I thought this process in Carson City was kind of everybody had that. Obviously, nowhere close to that. Every county or however, how many, I don't know if they're broken down by counties or not with planning commissions, all have different systems in place. That surprised me that some of them, I don't even know if they have findings in some.
And because it's different states, so there's different state enabling law that goes along with what the planning commissions do.
So I found that a lot of stuff they were talking about, you guys do a good job of, and allows the commission to make a good decision and rely upon you. The one thing that that we talked about that we really we haven't had done this in a long time is where we have a site inspection that we tried to formalize maybe, which is very difficult. So there was a lot of discussion about whether to do that or not. But the word came up with that is that when you go out, you don't investigate anything. You just go out and see and watch, but don't get engaged with conversation with the applicant, which is very difficult not to get engaged with the applicant as they're walking around the site. So I haven't done that in years. It was a small subdivision up near the hospital that we met with the applicant because he invited us out. So you have to be very careful site visits. I mean, if like I do, I drive by him now and look out my window and say, yeah, I see this. And one of the things that they recommended after you do that is when you come to the commission meeting, which I thought was good advice, don't ever take the role of knowing.
Somebody wants to challenge it, then they would go through the judicial review, it's called, and they would file a petition for judicial review and be based on your record alone. If you're just making an advisory decision or opinion, it would go to the next level, which would be the Board of Supervisors, and if they deny or allow or whatever the situation is, then that would be, the petition would be, for judicial review would be based on that decision.
That decision.
So it depends on what you're ruling on.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So that the process that we go through in the cases where we're the final authority is more important for us maybe as a commission than the ones that we advise to, but literally not, because we try to be just as fair for all situations.
Right, but technically you're right. It would be the appealable decision.
But the example, we just had that fourplex. Was that advisory on our part, or was that we approved that, and it went to the board, and they're going to kick it back to us, correct?
Yeah, I think I wanted to clarify, though, that's correct, though. I mean, so even where you potentially have the final decision, it can be appealed to the board. But I think in the context of what he's asking is if there's somebody's there are improper findings that are maybe there's something improper about the way the meeting was conducted or some action that's not necessarily the decision. It's not an appeal of the decision, but I don't know.
Well, that's part of it. You have findings. That's where it's a little twisted here. So that's why they say the findings are so important. And I liked the fact
findings
that they address
important them at this level when you make findings. Yeah.
If we deny, you can't deny somebody. You can't deny. What we have to do is approve the negative side, which we haven't done much of here. So that means if we turn down somebody's request, we can't just say no. We have to turn around and find the finding that says why we're turning it down.
The windmill.
So they put the findings in there, which was important, which is part of the training that I was. That's what you guys do. You give us findings. So that's like the example was the duplex. This board couldn't find any reason that the duplex in the findings
to not
approve it. So at least that wasn't there at that meeting. Not say that there was or wasn't, but sometimes we'll have two votes against something and three for it, so it passes, so you're not at the point of finding the findings. But one of the practices you might get into, if you feel that way, is you're looking at the findings. So when I ask for additional dialogue on a motion, that's your chance to say, this finding I disagree with, and that's why I'm voting no. That will help the process rather than just saying no. And that also gives you a chance to let the other commissioners to think about the same thing, too, that finding, as they read it and explain it, maybe that's why. Because there's sometimes I vote for things I don't agree with because there's no findings in there that would relate to the positive or negative of that vote.
Right.
So, and they went through that. There's a checklist and how the staff does a good job, and we use them as technical knowledge for this process. What I was surprised is I thought this process in Carson City was kind of everybody had that. Obviously, nowhere close to that. Every county or however, how many, I don't know if they're broken down by counties or not with planning commissions, all have different systems in place. That surprised me that some of them, I don't even know if they have findings in some.
And because it's different states, so there's different state enabling law that goes along with what the planning commissions do.
So I found that a lot of stuff they were talking about, you guys do a good job of, and allows the commission to make a good decision and rely upon you. The one thing that that we talked about that we really we haven't had done this in a long time is where we have a site inspection that we tried to formalize maybe, which is very difficult. So there was a lot of discussion about whether to do that or not. But the word came up with that is that when you go out, you don't investigate anything. You just go out and see and watch, but don't get engaged with conversation with the applicant, which is very difficult not to get engaged with the applicant as they're walking around the site. So I haven't done that in years. It was a small subdivision up near the hospital that we met with the applicant because he invited us out. So you have to be very careful site visits. I mean, if like I do, I drive by him now and look out my window and say, yeah, I see this. And one of the things that they recommended after you do that is when you come to the commission meeting, which I thought was good advice, don't ever take the role of knowing more than what's in the package. if you do that, you make a point at the meeting that staff investigate it and maybe try to delay the vote versus saying, I know this for a fact from these rules and laws, so this should probably be turned down. But we weren't all given that opportunity to know that, and the staff wasn't. So I like the fact that if we're out there and see something, and we know for a fact that something's taking place with that specific property for some reason, but it's not in a package, you come back and tell staff to the commission, you know, I know more than what's in this package, so I'd like to have it investigated more. And let staff do that versus us do that. The investigative role was considered poor behavior on the part of the commission, as I saw it in the package. Is that kind of summarize that?
Just while I'm thinking about it, as you talk. A couple of things on that. If you have more information that's in the staff report, the thing is to get it out at the meeting so everybody's considering the same information. That's not laying. I think what they said is, you know, don't put a 100-page traffic report on the table and say, I'm going to base my decision on this when everybody hasn't had a chance to read it. But if you have some knowledge based on seeing it or some other professional knowledge, you can make your decision on that knowledge and information. You need to disclose that information to everybody so they have the same information to consider in their decision. Is that accurate, you think?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, I agree with that. So it's just some clarity, and they were really talking a lot about site visits and how difficult those can be, and that, what's the word for that?
Ex parte communications with it. Yeah, and I think if we get, you know, we haven't really had, you know, we in a long time now, the subdivisions, and we didn't do that in the past, and probably need to talk to the DA about what it would take to notice that. But I think that was a good suggestion to have a publicly noticed site visit if that's what's necessary to get on there and get on the ground and see what the conditions are for some of these things. It's been a long time since we've dealt with a project that big, and who knows when we will. But that's something to keep in mind.
Well, it was one of the other items I thought was really good that supported staff. Go ahead.
I just in reading those little cases that we get with our packets, I noticed a couple times in there that when it goes for judicial review, they name both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors or County Commissioners or whatever it is. And just, I think, probably to include the records of both are the meeting records. I don't know why, but I've seen several times that was done. And so that's what I said, one or the other, or both. And they specifically are called out in the judicial review request of this lawsuit. So that's all.
Go ahead.
For example, when we were looking at the asphalt plant and the wind turbine and all that out there, it's should be perfectly open. I drove out, and it's not private property, so I didn't say who I was, just drove in, wanted to see the height of the berm and see what was around it on either side. I mean, that's all okay as long as you aren't making contact or anything.
Investigating
it?
Is the just, word. Just, you don't
just,
investigate.
Just visualizing, it, basically.
But look, that's the same thing we do.
And even like this one, I wanted to see where these property was, so I drove Robinson, Carroll, Hunt, and okay, there it is. I mean, you know.
Right. If you could see if you're able to see the same thing, well, this is what I at least how I put it. I think it's reasonable if the general public has the ability to see the same thing that you can see in driving by. You know, that's fine. It's if you know it takes you around the shoulder.
Out there with the asphalt plant, there was the mobile home park that's right behind it. That's actually in the other county. And I remember I brought up at the meeting, and they said they had talked to the people in the other county, were coordinating. I just, you know, that was just to clarify. You know, I wouldn't have known that if I didn't drive out there.
So this isn't to discourage site visits. It's just to kind of eye-opener about be careful so that we don't have an appeal and then look at that situation. And one of the only last thing I'll talk about, which I put a star by actually, is that when we talk about not denying a motion but making a motion to deny, that staff gives us alternative motions. And on items that usually have kind of walked the fence a little bit, staff's really good at giving us the alternate motion that makes those findings for us to help us, not to say we have to look at those, but it saves us a bunch of time because usually I have to adjourn if I find we voted against something. So we can get more than what's in the package. If you do that, you make a point at the meeting that staff investigate it and maybe try to delay the vote versus saying, I know this for a fact from these rules and laws, so this should probably be turned down. But we weren't all given that opportunity to know that, and the staff wasn't. So I like the fact that if we're out there and see something, and we know for a fact that something's taking place with that specific property for some reason, but it's not in a package, you come back and tell staff to the commission, you know, I know more than what's in this package, so I'd like to have it investigated more. And let staff do that versus us do that. The investigative role was considered poor behavior on the part of the commission, as I saw it in the package. Does that kind of summarize that?
Just while I'm thinking about it, as you talk. A couple of things on that. If you have more information that's in the staff report, the thing is to get it out at the meeting so everybody's considering the same information. That's not laying. I think what they said is, you know, don't put a 100-page traffic report on the table and say, I'm going to base my decision on this when everybody hasn't had a chance to read it. But if you have some knowledge based on seeing it or some other professional knowledge, you can make your decision on that knowledge and information. You need to disclose that information to everybody so they have the same information to consider in their decision. Is that accurate, you think?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, I agree with that. So it's just some clarity, and they were really talking a lot about site visits and how difficult those can be, and that, what's the word for that?
Ex parte communications with it. Yeah, and I think if we get, you know, we haven't really had, you know, we in a long time now, the subdivisions, and we didn't do that in the past, and probably need to talk to the DA about what it would take to notice that. But I think that was a good suggestion to have a publicly noticed site visit if that's what's necessary to get on there and get on the ground and see what the conditions are for some of these things. It's been a long time since we've dealt with a project that big, and who knows when we will. But that's something to keep in mind.
Well, it was one of the other items I thought was really good that supported staff. Go ahead.
I just in reading those little cases that we get with our packets, I noticed a couple times in there that when it goes for judicial review, they name both the Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors or County Commissioners or whatever it is. And just, I think, probably to include the records of both are the meeting records. I don't know why, but I've seen several times that was done. And so that's what I said, one or the other or both. And they specifically are called out in the judicial review request of this lawsuit. So that's all.
Go ahead.
For example, when we were looking at the asphalt plant and the wind turbine and all that out there, it's should be perquio. I drove out, and it's not private property, so I didn't say who I was, just drove in, wanted to see the height of the berm and see what was around it on either side. I mean, that's all okay as long as you aren't making contact or anything.
Investigating
it?
Is the just, word. Just, you don't
just,
investigate.
Just visualizing, it, basically.
But look, that's the same thing we do.
And even like this one, I wanted to see where these property was, so I drove Robinson, Carroll, Hanson. Okay, there it is. I mean, you know.
Right. If you could see any, if you're able to see the same thing, well, this is what I, at least how I put it, I think it's reasonable. If the general public has the ability to see the same thing that you can see in driving right. by, you know, that's fine. It's if, you know, it takes you around the shoulder.
Out there with the asphalt plant, there was the mobile home park that's right behind it that's actually in the other county. And I remember I brought up at the meeting, and they said they had talked to the people in the other county, were coordinating. I just, you know, that was just to clarify. You know, I wouldn't have known that if I didn't drive out there.
So this isn't to discourage site visits. It's just to kind of eye-opener about be careful so that we don't have an appeal and then look at that situation. And one of the other, only last thing I'll talk about, which I put a star by actually, is that when we talk about not denying a motion but making a motion to deny, that staff gives us alternative motions. And on items that usually have kind of walked the fence a little bit, staff's really good at giving us the alternate motion that makes those findings for us to help us, not to say we have to look at those, but it saves us a bunch of time because usually I have to adjourn if I find we voted against something. so we can gather and figure out what findings we all agree, which to me is not good governing when you're sitting there adjourned and chatting about some public motion. So I have a difficult time with that. So when staff does that, that's huge, because that'll enable us to, in a much more public forum than adjourned and discussing stuff, kind of. And I don't know how the DA thinks about that, but that's kind of how we've had to do it before, because we weren't together on the findings. So.
I'm thinking modernly to adjourn and discuss things that are public import probably wouldn't fly in the new and more improved open meeting law. So if that's easier the way that's happening, then that's probably better for everyone.
Okay. Well, hopefully we don't have that very often, which we don't. So, but it's, since we had the training, and I know we have a little extra time tonight, that we might be able to discuss that with. And that's all I had to make comments with, just to give feedback for, and thanks staff for inviting us. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, on the findings for both ways. So, you know, and just to note what they said, what some of the participants said in that webinar. You know, some were like, you know, staff should provide findings for approval and denial in every staff application. Then somebody else said, no, I mean, that's, you know, some are like so routine and clear, and that's why they make recommendations and condition and with conditions of approval. So, you know, there's kind of both in it. So if anybody had let us know if there's any real concern, but it is kind of walking a fine line sometimes. I mean, we're not trying to predict what the Planning Commission is going to vote.
Right.
On these before a public hearing, but we kind of have to listen to the public that we hear after the notices go out and before the staff report's done to kind of make that determination. So hopefully that's working at least okay.
I think that works great, and I saw that part of that training was that some staff don't give any motions. They don't.
Before making motions, they stop and have the DA write the motions.
They let the commissioners get to wrestle that alligator. So I'm really pleased to see this process put in place here. So any other comments or?
But if we, go ahead.
Sometimes when you go outside to see the site, it is locked by the applicant because that is inside. So then how you can see those things? We will have to go inside. We will have to talk with the applicant or anyone who is at the site. I will give you an example, like in Southside, there were 13 bins which we approved 3-4 months ago. So we have to go inside that property after knocking their door. We have to go inside to see that. So how to do in these circumstances?
I don't think we can. I think there's no guaranteed access to any permit. You could always call Lee and tell him that you're looking for an opportunity, but then we might have to figure out how you would do that.
And I think that was another suggestion they made, is to go with ask staff and go through staff and have staff, at least have somebody else with you, is another way that I think some other places have done that.
Yeah, I would never enter private property without staff, actually.
well, and we would do it with the property.
Right, you'd have the property.
I'm just saying, but just to have somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to note. We do occasionally, I mean, we visit all these sites, but occasionally they're locked, and that's what we do. We arrange with the property owner to
lock up their pit bulls and.
Right, exactly.
Better.
Anything else?
Well, the way about the motions, you're saying you could always take the motion to approve and just say, I recommend the supervisors not approve if you wanted to make that motion, correct? And just,
I think you have defining so for.
Right, that's why.
We can deny you.
Oh, okay.
We don't need to.
Right, that's where we have. You can't vote to deny, you can only vote to say no. Does that make sense to you? You have to go back and say, for these findings.
So you need to give specific reasons.
Yes. Specific reasons for denial rather than just denial.
And that's why if there's...
Which I would, as an applicant, I'd want that. I'd want to hear why you all said no. I'd want to know that was for those findings versus I don't
like
it.
When we had the first wind turbines, the guy wanted to weigh out all the water and stuff, there was a denial. A
which I wasn't here for
denial at that time. Okay.
Yes. together and figure out what findings we all agree, which to me is not good governing when you're sitting there adjourned and chatting about some public motion. So I have a difficult time with that. So when staff does that, that's huge, because that'll enable us to, in a much more public forum than adjourned and discussing stuff, kind of. And I don't know how the DA thinks about that, but that's kind of how we've had to do it before, because we weren't together on the findings. So.
I'm thinking modernly to adjourn and discuss things that are public import probably wouldn't fly in the new and more improved open meeting law. So if that's easier the way that's happening, then that's probably better for everyone.
Okay. Well, hopefully we don't have that very often, which we don't. So, but it's, since we had the training, and I know we have a little extra time tonight, that we might be able to discuss that with. And that's all I had to make comments with, just to give feedback for, and thanks staff for inviting us. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, on the findings for both ways. So, you know, and just to note what they said, what some of the participants said in that webinar. You know, some were like, you know, staff should provide findings for approval and denial in every staff application. Then somebody else said, no, I mean, that's, you know, some are like so routine and clear, and that's why they make recommendations and condition and with conditions of approval. So, you know, there's kind of both in it. So if anybody had let us know if there's any real concern, but it is kind of walking a fine line sometimes. I mean, we're not trying to predict what the Planning Commission is going to vote.
Right.
On these before a public hearing, but we kind of have to listen to the public that we hear after the notices go out and before the staff report's done to kind of make that determination. So hopefully that's working at least okay.
I think that works great, and I saw that part of that training was that some staff don't give any motions. They don't.
Right. Motions. They stop and have the DA write the motions.
They let the commissioners get to wrestle that alligator. So I'm really pleased to see this process put in place here. So any other comments or?
But if we, go ahead.
Sometimes when you go outside to see the site, it is locked by the applicant because that is inside. So then how you can see those things? We will have to go inside. We will have to talk with the applicant or anyone who is at the site. I will give you an example, like in Southside, there were 13 bins which we approved 3-4 months ago. So we have to go inside that property after knocking their door. We have to go inside to see that. So how to do in these circumstances?
I don't think we can. I think there's no guaranteed access to any permit. You could always call Lee and tell him that you're looking for an opportunity, but then we might have to figure out how you would do that.
And I think that was another suggestion they made, is to go with ask staff and at least have somebody else with you is another way that I think some other places have done that.
Yeah, I would never enter private property without staff, actually.
well, and we would do it with the property.
Right, you'd have the property.
I'm just saying, but just to have somebody.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to note. We do occasionally, I mean, we visit all these sites, but occasionally they're locked, and that's what we do. We arrange with the property owner to
lock up their pit bulls and.
Right, exactly.
Better.
Anything else?
Well, the way about the motions, you're saying you could always take the motion to approve and just say, I recommend the supervisors not approve if you wanted to make that motion, correct? And just,
I think you have defining so for.
Right, that's why.
We can deny
okay.
We don't need to.
Right, that's where we have. You can't vote to deny, you can only vote to say no. Does that make sense to you? You have to go back and say, for these findings.
So you need to give specific reasons.
Yes. Specific reasons for denial rather than just denial.
And that's why if there's...
Which I would, as an applicant, I'd want that. I'd want to hear why you all said no. I'd want to know that was for those findings versus I don't
like
it.
When we had the first wind turbines, the guy wanted to weigh out all the water and stuff, there was a denial.
Which I wasn't here for
that. Denial at that time.
Go ahead.
It is only on a complete denial by the commission itself, not when you vote.
Right, not a no.
Not a no.
But I was suggesting if you're going to say no on a vote, give a finding of why when I ask for any more discussion so that we can all know why and the applicant might know why, that somebody says no, because that's one of the questions I've been asked for by somebody later. Why did they say no? You know, sometimes they won't say anything. They'll just say deny because they might not agree with it. But it's always better, I think, if you're going to say no, it's not you have to, but it would help if I knew the finding. And also, you know, you might lobby your interest.
So, so even if it came up during the discussion, like in that wind turbine case, it was too tall, it was too close to right. property line, it was too loud. You still,
well,
in your motions, you should clarify that as well. That's the reason.
Yes.
Because it's too tall, too close
then
to property.
Then they can figure out why they would want to come back or go to the Board of Supervisors with it. So. Is that, do you agree with that, Lee?
Jeff was mentioning, I mean, often at the Board of Supervisors, and I know we've done it here too, to clarify the record, if a motion to approve fails, we actually do a motion to deny right. based on the inability to make finding 2 and 5 right. whatever okay. that is. Although, you know, I'm just thinking, but what you sometimes you have to do that on the motion of approval. There's not, because like tonight, 3 of you want to approve it, 3 of you want to deny it. Neither motion's going to pass.
Right.
So there just has to be a record as to why you're not voting for it.
Well, on a tie.
Neither motion, yeah, majority vote. Neither motion, you cannot approve it with 6 of you here. It's not approved by 3 votes. A motion doesn't carry on 3 votes.
We'll have to give Kathy a vote for that. Beat the tie for us.
Why do we have 7,
All right, I killed 20 minutes here, guys. This time here. I thought it was important.
Made a real meeting.
I get so bummed out that we don't have opportunities sometimes for training and stuff with these short meetings. So I thought that was actually a good discussion.
Thank you
for your patience. I'm just looking for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Commissioner Vance.
I'll second.
Commissioner Sattler seconds. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in a month.